Diamond Heart 7, August the 30th, 2009, morning session.
Not only you. You notice this whole room is changing. Next time you're here, it's going to be even different. Our world is transforming. I think the sound, you're hearing me okay? Yeah, sounds a little echoey, but I don't know about how you're hearing it. Our world transforming and changing, and who knows whether it's for the better. However, our own transformation, if we pay the right attention to it, it usually transforms for the better. It has that natural tendency. I guess that's why you're here. You know that. If you didn't know that, you won't be here. You'd be wasting your time, right? So has it been easy or difficult for you? I mean life. Your life in general, has it been easy in the last year or difficult? Raise your hand if it's been difficult. Okay. Raise your hand if it's been easy. Yeah, so some easy, but mostly difficult. That's sort of normal proportion of how people feel about life in general, not just the last year. So we're working on transforming it for the better without trying, meaning without trying to make it better. We do it by sticking to the truth, by being as truthful in our experience as possible, knowing ourselves, being with ourselves, living our life in as a real and truthful way as possible. And we have the faith and the trust that that what is natural, what makes life naturally appear to us in our experience in a freer and a more positive light. Our spiritual teachings are based on that kind of faith, that kind of trust. That if you open yourself as completely as possible, if you're really genuine and truthful, there will be more human satisfaction, more human fulfillment, more meaningfulness in our experience. That was a big reason why we did the segment on basic trust and the holding environment. holding environment, is recognizing that the holding is deeper than just the physical holding, deeper than just the financial holding, deeper than just the emotional holding, that there is a holding in reality that is more of a spiritual nature, that is the source of faith and trust, that if we let go to in our inner experience to reality, it will generally begin to manifest. It's possible, it's positive, or it's free, it's pure sight. But it requires a deep faith, a big trust, because much of what we experience when we let go and we open up is not prey. And it's not easy. A lot of it is difficult, painful. Not only we find pain and suffering and conflict and ignorance, and all whole history comes up in our face with all of its emotional disruptions and difficulties. That's why in a spiritual approach that deals with the deeper or more meaningful side human experience, there is a necessity for faith, for love, for compassion, for kindness to ourselves and to others, because of recognition of how much pain and suffering and difficulty and conflict there is in most people's personal experience and life. We know that personal life itself is full of anxieties and uncertainties and difficulties and inadequacies of various kinds. You don't have to do spiritual work to experience that. Everybody does. Spiritual work means we want to know, experience ourselves more fully, so that will include those parts. It's not because spiritual work wants you to feel these things. It's not like it's we're hunting for those things, but if we're open to the truth of our experience, that's part of the truth that we find. And without the trust that there is something more fundamental that is positive, this is pure, without the faith that reality can manifest in a way that is optimizing, that can manifest as a kind of openness and as a kind of gentleness and kindness toward ourselves and others when there is difficulty, it will be difficult to let go, to even be courageous enough to go deeper in ourselves, open ourselves even wider, open our hearts wider and our soul deeper. So in some sense we have our life, our personal lives, with all those involvements and parts and engagements and work and relationships, and everybody got their universe that they live in. And when we come here, we sort of don't put all that on hold. We don't avoid it, but we more specifically focused on the opening to the depth, opening to the more fundamental, concentrating in what's most profound in us, the basics of our consciousness and experience. Of course, as we do that, parts of our life will come in because they're significant, related to it. Parts of our lives, both in the present and from the past, will come into it. And that's partly unavoidable and partly is useful to understand of what we are experiencing in the moment. But really, when we come here in a weekend, we are in some sense just like going to a temple. It's a visit to the gods. Now you're taking yourself out of the hustle and bustle of everyday life and going for a short period of time into the realm of the divine, knocking on the door of heaven to enter for a while. No reality in some kind of more fundamental, more elevated way. Some teaching do it by trying to forget everything about the rest of your life. Just you come to the temple, just the gods and you. You pray to God or do some kind of ritual for the gods or whatever, and that's all. For us, we do that, but also we bring the concerns of our life, some of them at least, because they are inseparable from the way we think, the way we feel. And to be able to extricate ourselves, our mind, our experience, for it to stay in its purity, we do need to consider those. So really coming to a weekend is both leaving the world and also a way of beginning to transform our life in the world. You leave the world for a while to connect to your deeper moorings in order to go back to the world with a greater strength, greater self-knowledge, more compassion, more capacity. And of course, when you do your meditation inquiries at home, you're sort of just like you're having your altar there to connect regularly with that inner dimension. Until there comes a time when our connection to the depth is so profound, we can take it with us everywhere. We don't have to be at the temple or the altar to remember it. Now, the beginning requires that kind of dedication and focus, because of how powerfully the world impinges on our experience. Because the thing about our ordinary or everyday experience, what makes it be a worldly experience, what makes it be experience on earth instead of heaven, is that it's not just a matter of it's on earth, not a matter of it's in the world, but it's a world that is divorced from its deeper grounds, from its inner essential nature. So the world we usually know is not really the world, the real world, not the world as it can be. It's the world of the personality, the world of the self. on the personality and the self. What makes it a personality, what we call it a self, is because it is a consciousness that is not aware of its deeper truth, its inner spiritual nature, its purity that is also its freedom and its fulfillment, the source of our strength, our power, our will, our love, our clarity. And of course, each teaching has a way, a particular path or method of how to open up to the deeper dimension, how to connect to it from the place we find ourselves in, which is a disconnected place, in some sense a dissociated, alienated. And as you have been learning this weekend, the two worlds are connected, are inseparable, and even the normal world has elements of it. The personality has experiences and ways of operating that are not separate from the fact that we have an inner nature, an essential nature. And it's not separate from the fact that we are also disconnected from that essential nature. That's why we have defenses. That's why we have imitation qualities, pretensions that we are strong or intelligent, when it is not the true brilliance of intelligence, and not the true energy of strength. It's not the true tenderness of compassion. We have what's called fake qualities, fillers of holes, the fillers of the disconnection. The holes are basically our specific, particular ways of recognizing that alienation, that disconnection. We can confront the disconnection, its alienation, and its dissociation in general, or we can look at it more specifically by looking at certain qualities of our true nature. That way we can have a recognition of an area of disconnection, which usually easier or more accessible to most people than just dealing with the general, overall disconnection of our true nature. Because that's much more challenging and more scary to deal with. So in the Dhyana approach, we have a way that we found of seeing the disconnection by looking at it as disconnection from particular qualities. That's where we're dealing with that area of disconnection, instead of all of them at the same time. If you're dealing with a disconnection from your true nature, from your presence, from your truth, from your reality, from your power and strength and compassion and love and clarity, and all at the same time, it can be a little bit overwhelming. If you take them one at a time, you see, the challenge to the personality is not as total, so the personality doesn't feel it has to sort of fight for its life in a total war. It feels, well, it's going to lose something, but not the whole thing. So that gives it a possibility to sort of, because it's trust and it's not 100%. If our trust and faith was 100%, of course, we can go for the whole thing. We can go to the big transformation. But for most of us, our trust and faith is just growing and developing. It's not complete. It might be enough to deal with one quality or two at a time. And that's the advantage of working with the theory of wholes, really. Dealing with the alienation and disconnection dealing with the fundamental ignorance in a partial way, in a stepwise way. And because we're dealing with specific qualities, there's a particular progression that we see, which is true about the general, if we deal with the whole thing, similar progression, which is first recognizing that what we take to be ourself is not the true thing. There's a falsehood to it. Same thing, seeing that the quality we take ours, what we have is not the true thing, the strength is not the true thing, the will is not the true will, and things like that. So seeing the true quality, recognizing why we have that, why we have such sort of imitation quality, shows us that we're avoiding something, that there is a defensive part to it. And a big part of the defensive part, because to feel the disconnection is not easy. It's challenging in terms of what it means. And it's painful because it's emotionally like a wounding, a hurt, a loss. And it's scary because also it means that some of the grounding, some of the supports for the self or personality is going to, we're going to see that they're not there. That our foundations don't go deep enough, especially it's an area that has frequent earthquakes. You know, it's just on the surface, a little earthquake and they crumble. We don't want to see how insecure it is. But whatever spiritual work you do, you're bound to come to the meaninglessness and the emptiness and the disconnection. But doesn't make it easy if we do it in a partial way. It's still difficult dealing with the disconnection from your strength or from your love or from your will. It's not easy. Recognizing the absence of it is difficult. Recognize the absence of difficulty is difficult, and with it will come the history of how this connection happened. And usually it's fraught with pain and conflictual history and emotions. Abandonment and abuse and negligence and fear and so you've been working this weekend on the fact that there are holes, means we're looking at the different parts of the disconnection, which when we look at them specifically, they appear as whole, as specific deficiency, specific disconnection, specific lack of a particular quality, instead of just disconnected from being. Here I'm disconnected from my strength, disconnected from my will, disconnected from my joy or my compassion. And I think that's why we've worked with Living Daylight and Basic Trust, because we need to have some trust, some sense that there is a bigger holding for us to go to the step, which is a difficult one, even though we're taking it in small steps. But it is still a big step. That's why we have done that work, to give us some kind of, have worked through some of our fears, some of our distrust, seen something about our capacity to feel held. So we need the sense of trust, and also we need to recognize these are difficult things, so we need to remember our kindness, or to be gentle with ourselves, to remember the tenderness necessary when there is pain, there is suffering, there is fear. Could that help us tolerate the pain? Because the disconnection is painful, scary. It's like there's an unknowns in it. In time, after years of practice, you realize those holes were really little things. The big disconnection, much bigger gaps. Abysses, deep kinds of abyss. But now we're dealing with just a hole or a little emptiness. But it feels deficient. That's not easy. If we were lacking something, you don't have will, or you don't have love, or you don't have support or something like that. As you know, they're not easy. But the idea of theory of whole, we call it a theory of whole. Still call it a theory. But it is a proven theory. Right? Not all theories are not proven. Right? Just calling a theory doesn't mean it's not a fact. I don't know why in science they do it that way. I mean, some things are facts, but they call them theories, like the Pythagorean theory. I mean, everybody knows it's a fact, but they call it a theory, and they tell you how to prove it. So the theory of whole is like that kind of theory. We don't mean it's a proposition that we're still not sure about it. We've checked it enough times to know it has a lot of support in reality, but we still call it a theory, and that's how it started. Meaning, I think, one reason why we say it's theory, it is one way of seeing things, can be seen through other theories, different ways. Like different teachings don't use that way, they use other things. But it is a very handy, really, very easy way to recognize, understand our experience, our normal, everyday experience. Not the fact that our mind is disconnected, that we're controlled by the past and by concepts and all. We can do that, but these are subtle things. Here we look at our experience and whatever we're feeling and everyday, normal kind of experience, and can have an understanding of it that connects it directly with the deeper grounds of our true nature. That's the advantage of the theory of whole, why it is particular and specific. It gives meaning to our particular experience, whether it is, you know, ignorant personality experience or a deeper essential experience. So we've been exploring how we fill our holes, and we explored what's the experience of hole. When we recognize that we are filling, we are substituting, we are avoiding, we're covering up. Most of the time, unconsciously, we don't know we've been doing it. The personality does it as a matter of course. We grew up knowing ourselves that way, and then we recognize, well, that's not just who we are, it really has other functions, which is, it covers up the disconnection. But the fact that you've come to do this work means you've already recognizing there is a disconnection, like there is a cover-up. If you didn't know there was a cover-up, you will just continue in your merry way, living your life, you know, and not finding out probably what's the truth till after you die. Which is sort of unfortunate that many people are like that, either before or after they die, that they find out that, oh, there's more to reality than making money and having kids. So instead of feeling just the big disconnect, we're feeling that what we call the holes, which are the disconnection, but seen from the perspective of one particular quality. The disconnection is always a kind of deficient emptiness. There's always a kind of lack. And we can feel the meaninglessness, or something is missing, or dissatisfaction. But when we really confront it, we feel like an emptiness that doesn't feel good. Feels something missing, something not right about it. Feels something not real about it. So you call them a hole. We don't necessarily mean you always see a hole like a well. Sometimes people experience that, but it's mostly feel like as you understand some manifestation of your personality, see the defenses, see the substitute, you begin to feel the actual missing of the quality. And you might first feel, oh, I just feel weak, I feel don't have strength, but as you really explore it, you realize it feels like there's nothing there in your pelvis, like there's really some kind of emptiness. And at the beginning, it feels sort of disconcerting and unpleasant. It's a lacking kind of emptiness. It's not the beautiful, metaphysical, luminous void that they talk about in deep spiritual teaching. That one's scary, too, for most people. This is sort of a little approach, a tentative approach to the metaphysical void, you see. By seeing that some place in our experience, something is lacking. So it feels as a deficiency, as a lack. And of course, we can be hard on ourselves. You know, we can judge ourselves, feel shame or humiliation or questioning of ourselves, and criticize ourselves for some lack or something. That's the superego judging and attacking us for a fact that everybody has. All egos have those holes in them. In fact, we don't need to look for them. Just by exploring your experience, they will emerge, as if you notice. Just by exploring your experience of the personality, at some point as you understand it in some kind of complete way, you will see what's missing, that there is a disconnection, that there is some kind of lack. Of course, we all said we're knocking at the door of heaven. We thought when the door opens, it will be all light and nectar and beauty and rainbow colors and raining, you know, blessings. And here, when the door opens, it's like, uh-oh. The valley of death. In some sense, yes. The door of heaven, you go through purgatory. As you open the door, first is a transition. There are two doors, not one, you see. First door opens up first. So, uh-oh. Recognizing the truth, like that's the cleansing process. You see. That's the purgatory. Purgatory is the cleansing process. Seeing through the illusions, our delusions about reality and ourselves. And as we see through that, then there's another door that opens up. We might not see the other door. You might just see this. You see, empty valley. The only thing you could find around is just thorny cactus. So you can't lean against it to rest. But the interesting thing, that emptiness, the whole is basically the specific way of experiencing the emptiness of disconnection. Instead of experiencing the fullness and the presence and the truth, we're feeling the fakeness, the emptiness, the deficiency, the disconnection. That's all it means. So it is a truth we're seeing that underlies our normal experience. And we're bound to get to it. We are usually feeling it, but in an indirect, not in a clear way. Now we're experiencing in a clear way, we're seeing it for what it is. We've probably experienced many of those holes as you're working with the Lataif. See? So we're just looking at the general picture here, the whole dynamics of how to understand our experience, how it will help us in our ongoing work. But when we feel the emptiness, when we stop fighting it, when we're not attacking ourselves, feeling ashamed about it, not reacting to it, as the history of it comes up and we understand it, and instead of rejecting and defending ourselves against it, recognizing sometimes not easy. Some of us, some parts, some holes are more difficult than others. As we understand it, when that and understand the emptiness, finally, it's just something is missing. And we really understand it. The understanding clarifies the emptiness. The emptiness itself, which feels heavy and sort of musty, inner space, like you open a room and hasn't been opened for 30 years. It feels like old and dusty and musty. As you let the light come in and the air come in and become clear about what it is, and like that's clarifying and dispelling process, and the air clarify, the space becomes clearer. And what felt at the beginning as a deficiency, as painful, as a lack, begins to feel just as spaciousness. Spaciousness, lightness, openness. So at the beginning we are scared of it because of the history of it and the association of it, and because it is the emptiness is full of the history, full of the association. But as the history and the association clear out and experience the space itself, the emptiness itself is just open spaciousness, the spaciousness of our being, the clearings in our true nature that has in it freedom and lightness. It's the same emptiness that we first felt as deficient. Now we feel it as light and spacious. And that seems to be a step that happens frequently. Sometimes it happens explicitly. Now sometimes we don't see it, so clearly. But frequently the dealing with a deficiency and absence and studying the history around it, the associations to it, clears it out and becomes spaciousness. I call it clearing because it is a spaciousness within which the particle qualities begin to pour, to manifest. Not as filling the whole, but as the abundance that effulges to take its place as what was missing, what was disconnected. Like the space is the beginning of a reconnection. Because our true nature always has a spacious dimension to it. It's the openness of our soul that opens us up to the depths. And then the depth, naturally, spontaneously, if we really have experienced the filling and the recognize the attempts at defense and the reactions and the fears and the angers and hurts and all of that around those deficiencies, the quality that we felt was missing would begin to arise. If we were dealing with weakness and lack of strength, then the spaciousness became warm, to become full and life, strong and zesty, and like we become full of liquid fire that make us have a fundamental inner strength. And if our disconnection was from our joy, we were feeling sad and hurt and alone and depressed, and we feel the absence of the, then that spaciousness begins to have a lightness, begins to have a playfulness, as if the sunlight comes pouring in. And we feel happy and delighted and curious about reality. So it depends on which quality we've been working on. The spaciousness begins to allow that particular quality to appear in a very pure way. The more we experience the space, the more the quality will appear in a pure way. Sometimes the quality appears without us experiencing the space. It will appear as something that fills our body and moves here, moves there. But when it arises within spaciousness, it's very clear, very pure. Either way is fine, it's good. Whatever we get, it's good. You know, we're not going to be picky. You see, I only want the pure, total thing or nothing. We're not going to do that. That's not smart. You see. But we're discussing the various levels of this inquiry that can happen so that it helps us in orienting ourselves, understanding our experience as it happens. Just the understanding itself, recognizing the different layers, different steps, it has an organizing effect in our process that makes it more facilitated. It's not like you have to think about where, you know, which one it is, what's happening. You don't have just understanding will become part of your inner culture. It helps you orient your experience so that it becomes more effective. Makes the inquiry more effective. So the theory of whole, in some sense, has different steps, different layers in terms of studying the connection of the personality, its disconnection, and what's it disconnected from. We see the patterns and the history and how it is partly a cover-up and partly a filling, and then see the defensive quality of that, and then as we explore that, we could see the history, and then that layer reveals the holes and deficient emptiness, the lacks themselves. And as we explore the lacks, that lack becomes just the inner spaciousness. It is, always been the inner spaciousness, but the inner spaciousness pervaded by ideas and associations and history. As we understand them, they clear out. Understanding clarifies, you notice. You know, inquiry and understanding is like a vacuum machine, sort of. Like a cleaning, like putting your soul through the car wash, sort of. It's an inner car wash. It cleanses your soul, the inner atmosphere. It's the, what they call it, like a complete car wash, where they wash it from inside and outside. full service, right. You know. You wash from inside and outside. You come out all clean and squeaky clean and fresh and ready to feel it's starting anew. But clears not just the personality part, but the dullness and thickness and the deficiency and the emptiness, to reveal that the emptiness is spaciousness. And from and next step after that, if it happens in that stepwise way, we begin to become aware of the quality itself, with its strength, with its the tenderness and the beautiful emerald green atmosphere of compassion, or the peacefulness and stillness of the black essence after we work through our doubt or our hatred. You know. So that happens to all the qualities. I mean, God knows how many qualities there are, 30, 40, 50, 100. But the process continues that way, seeing the personality, how it's a cover, some kind of disconnection appears as an emptiness, then a spaciousness that reveals a fullness, a richness. And it's not always in that linear kind of step. Sometimes one comes before the other. Sometimes we become some one or two, do not aware of the other. But it's good to know when you, by looking at your experience, which one of, of those you've seen, to have some understanding by looking at your process, how you usually traverse the terrain of your soul as you go from the disconnected place to the connected place, as you traverse, go through the purgatory and the deficiency, and whether you have experienced it moving to spaciousness, and whether sometimes the spaciousness appeared as the fullness, as the textured richness of true nature, whether it's a sense of inner presence or as a fullness that pervades the whole space, sweetness, or experience as a nice aroma that filling the atmosphere. So let's do an exercise to explore this whole process. We've done different parts of it. So we'll get in groups of three. We'll do a monologue for 15 minutes a person. You want to explore your experience this weekend. Where are you? Where have you been? Because we explore the different steps or different levels of the theory of wholes. You see, the defense and the filler and the cover-up, the deficiency, the lack, the spaciousness, and the actual presence, the connection, the quality. Think of them like four ways that way. You want to see what you've been experiencing this weekend, and then bring it to the now. Where are you? Which one of those seems to be most relevant for your experience at this moment? So you want to begin with the whole weekend, but then focus on the moment in terms of where your present experience happens to be. That can give you a good context to understand it. So 15 minutes, and there'll be 5-minute feedback discussion for three of you to help you understand even more, as clearly as possible, where you are in that continuum. Is there a question about that? 15 minutes? Repeat it? Yeah. So you want to explore your experience in this weekend to see where has it been in terms of this continuum of several stages. And then to focus on the present moment to see where you are in that continuum. So you might have gone back and forth from different places. And also, as you become aware of the continuum, you might recognize which quality you've been dealing with. That might become easy as you explore, you know, the deficiency and the spaciousness and the quality or the filler. What is it you're dealing with? Are you dealing with love? Are you dealing with intelligence? Are you dealing with strength? That might become clear. See, that might actually help you in understanding which one of the steps are you working on by having some understanding of which one of the qualities you seem to be focused on, your experiences happen to be focused on. Okay, so 15 minutes and 5-minute feedback discussion to become clear about where you are. Okay. Okay. It's time for discussion. See if you have questions or comments. Okay. Middle.
Patricia, I have a question about, how do I form it? When we're filling our holes, when we are doing something to cover over and not be with the deficit, how do we know, like for instance, I can sometimes get into creativity and wanting to do things, and how do I know when it's coming out of true essence and when I'm just filling a hole? Regina yesterday gave a good clue in terms of relationship, if we're dependent.
A good question. There are many ways, actually. The filling a hole tends to have a pattern to it. Mm-hmm. It has a recognizable repeating pattern, and there's a compulsion to it. There's a motivation to keep doing it, uh-huh. An unconscious motivation to keep doing it because it's an unconscious defense. So that's one of the features that it could help you know. The other thing is when the action is coming from essence, usually you're aware of quality of essence. When you're filling a hole, you're not necessarily aware of quality of essence. That's another important thing. But I think the main thing is that there is a pattern to it, you recognize it, has a historical origin, and it has a compulsion to it, it's difficult to stop. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay.
Yeah, Daniel. I don't know what you said something this morning, and it came up in our work just now, too, was... we go in to the deficiency and we actually find that it's actually the very quality itself and it's the spaciousness. Yeah. And so it made me wonder, it feels like almost a... It's just an illusion that I'm able to... You can't fill up the hole. I mean, that probably would be the best thing, throw the stuff into the hole, but more I'm disguising it somehow and pretending it's not
filling
there.
You can't truly fill it. It's an attempt at filling it. It's mostly an avoidance of it. It's a cover-up process. So filling it, when we say filling a hole, means believing, doing something that makes you believe you have the quality when you don't.
But the hole itself isn't a deficiency, it's actually the quality itself, if I just allow myself to fall into it.
Right, yeah. So it's the hole is just a disconnection.
Just a disconnection.
Disconnection from the quality. The quality isn't accessible when it's needed. When you become aware of that inaccessibility, we call it a hole, it feels like some kind of a lack or an emptiness.
So doesn't a lot of the suffering and pain come from some presumption that I'm able to do something about it when actually it's just a small self trying to do something about a part that's
I'm sure
that's
going to
take care of itself?
A lot of suffering and pain does come a lot from attempting to fill the hole or avoid it. But also a lot of suffering comes from feeling the hole, the deficiency, but not directly. For many people feel deficient without feeling it as an emptiness. They feel just they don't have this or don't have that, or they're incapable this way or another, and they feel difficulties because of this. That's a kind of suffering, you see. But the defense itself can cause suffering because all defenses cause suffering because at some point they're really not necessary. And they disconnect you from yourself.
So it's like what you were saying this morning of just being, all we can really do is just be as open as possible and it will arise on its own.
Yeah, usually if we're really open, we're not, you know, putting barriers consciously or unconsciously, the quality will arise when the situation requires it. It's the natural thing. Like when there's hurt, it's natural to feel compassion. When something needs strength, it's natural that your energy will rise up. You know, something needs persistence, it's natural that there will be will. These are the normal responses of our consciousness. If those don't happen, it's because there is a disconnection, and that will create pain. So what will happen sometime is we'll have a quality similar to the personality level. That's what we call the fillers or the pretensions. But those have their limitation because reality will tend to challenge them. You know, they might, you know, we might be able to do it for a few decades, but at some point become clear that it won't work. See? And in this work, we don't think of some teachings talk about eons, about thousands of lifetimes. You can do it. You know, this year we talk about years or decades. Enough for us to deal with that. Yeah. I think it become obvious. Okay, back.
This weekend, the hole that has manifested, that has became clear, has expressed itself in terms of lack of self-worth.
Yeah.
And all the strategies that were built upon that lack of self-worth to pretend there was.
Yeah.
But I'm not clear how that translates into essential qualities.
Lack of self-worth is such a quality. Worth is a quality of value. There's a particular quality, we call it value, which when people experience it, there's sense of worth and value and, you know, preciousness to oneself. When we're not aware of it, there's always a question of esteem and self-worth. So that is one particular.
Okay,
whole,
so even if it's not one of the Lataif, it's an essential
quality.
Well,
I mean, you worked with five of the Lataif, but there are many other qualities. The five are the major qualities. But there, as I said, there might be 30, 40, 50 qualities. Like love is a quality, for instance. Truth is a quality. Value is a quality. Intelligence is a quality. Clarity is a quality. See, we will be working with those.
Also, what I'm starting to see is related to a remark you just made, that suffering is happening when the whole is not directly felt, that something is felt that is not directly the whole. And I'm relating this to my experience because I've felt anxiety for many, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, well, if I'm feeling it fully, why doesn't it transform? And I, you know, what I'm seeing is the anxiety was always at the level of, is the covering up strategy going to work or not?
Yeah,
anxiety
is one of the ways one of the things people feel as the whole is approaching consciousness. When they're getting close to feeling the whole directly, that they get anxious. Yeah, and that's not the only reason for anxiety, but that is one major one.
Yes. So what I'm seeing, only feeling the anxiety doesn't resolve anything. Yeah, I have to go feel the whole directly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you stay with the anxiety and not try to make it go away, see what's it about, we might see that there's some kind of hole or deficiency. And then,
well, that's what I'm saying. So far, the anxiety was calling us to, well, is this coping strategy that I have going to work or not? Am I going to be able to prove that I win or that prove that I'm smarter or to prove that? Mm-hmm. And that is like that's sterile at that level.
Yeah,
you know, it's that, and today I'm seeing the possibility of going
Yeah.
Deeper into it.
Going deeper, exactly. That's what we're, the whole idea about the Theory of Wholes. That there are different levels, I mean, and each one of them is deeper than the other. And usually the personality stays on the first level, filling the hole, the defenses, the various patterns about, you know, the personality that doesn't deal with the directly with the fact of disconnection, deals with it indirectly. And you're right, the law of suffering happens because we are experiencing the deficiencies or disconnection, but not in a direct way. Most people experience them, but they're not direct. They don't feel it as a particular emptiness. When you finally focus on it and not avoid it, you begin to recognize there is an emptiness, there is a hole there.
Yeah, I'm getting here kicking and screaming because it seems that there's something that is defeating all my strategies, all my covering up strategies.
Something, right?
Something, and I don't know where the something is, if
yeah.
it's outside of me, inside of me, but something is defeating all the covering up strategies. So
yeah.
I really have no other choice than to
yeah.
get to feel the holes.
Yeah, well, sometimes your life conspires like that. Yeah. Conspires to show you the truth. That's nothing unusual. Many people, actually, their life, even if they're not doing the work, their life happens such a way, finally they have to confront something about their life or reality. They have to come to terms with things and they have to be real. That's the thing about human life, is that much of the time, given enough time, you can't just continue being unconscious and things will go fine. You know, it's not a new, not normal for it that way. If you continue being unconscious, life will catch up with you at some point. Reality will catch up with you. Okay.
During my inquiry, I got in touch with the I think the thing that I feel that I lack or the hole for me is loving kindness.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is required to to encounter one of these holes.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've got the little catch-22 there. If I can't get in touch with the loving kindness to work on this. I feel like when I get there, I can recognize what the hole is. I've got an
idea. The hole is loving kindness, and you feel you need loving kindness to get into it. Is that
right.
What you're saying? Yeah, but loving kindness helps, but doesn't mean it's absolutely necessary for every hole.
Okay.
You can be courageous.
Okay.
For instance, and persistent. Now, those will help too.
I have that.
Okay, good. now, those will help.
I think I have that in a real sense.
Very
so.
Good. So you could be determined, persistent, stay with it. And yeah, because true, if it's the whole is of loving kindness, you won't have it accessible for you.
So I take another quality that I feel that I
yes.
do have to help me get
yes.
there.
Yes, other quality can fill in.
And then I can work on the loving kindness hole with that.
Exactly. That's a good point.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That's all the qualities help each other that way.
They're a team. Okay,
definitely.
I can do that.
They're a team, yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
They're
thank
a team,
you.
Yeah.
And thank you for that lecture. I really...
Yeah. You're welcome.
I could feel the love and kindness in your talk. So, thank you.
It is an expression of that. So this is the G team, right?
I'm feeling deficient to stand up.
Uh-huh.
It's an old deficiency I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Not being smart enough
so
say the right thing.
That's a deficiency, that you're not
yeah.
smart enough. Mm-hmm.
My question is when a child plays with something, it's very involved and happy playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much in their essence. And then the mother comes and says, no, I just had this, actually, I was working with a mother and child. Mm-hmm. A child had fun with the flashlight all, mm-hmm. you know, blinking around, and she got really mad and said, you need a timeout, you need to go to the room. And I could see when the child came back and had to apologize, actually, to the brother, that the child was very deflated. He just, his body language was kind of collapsed. And he was wounded. I mean, it was like a wound.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Hurt. He was deeply hurt.
Yeah.
And it was traumatic. It was a trauma.
That's good, yeah.
And then he cried a little bit, but he couldn't cry either. Mother said she didn't cry. So when we talk about holes, it's usually derived from an early wound. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. The holes connect with the wound.
Okay.
And you might feel the wound as you work on the hole. And you might feel the wound because the disconnection became a wounding. Mm. You see. Could disconnect, something taken out of you. So the disconnection is a wounding, and things that happened around it that caused it can be wounding. So yeah, part of actually the transformation of the whole into the quality can happen through experiencing the wounding.
So what would you say to parents today? What's the best way to, obviously the child cannot always do, you know, be in that flow, and sometimes it's dangerous, or sometimes, what would be the easiest way to actually not have the child be so wounded, you know, letting it cry out, or...
Yeah, so of course the qualities of our being that we're exploring, they all will be helpful. Like having the kindness and the attunement in it will help. Mm-hmm. If the mother or the father are attuned to where the child is, they will do whatever they do, whatever limit they put, in a way that won't be wounding. But, you know, mm-hmm. but they do need to put some limits sometimes, for sometimes good reasons. There need to be limits. So how to do it in a way so it's not wounding. So you need the will to put limits, but you need the kindness to do it in a way that doesn't wound. Mm-hmm. You see? Some kids will feel frustrated instead of wounded. They will want to do what they want to do anyway. Right? So when you said you're feeling the wounding, you're feeling the deficiency. Mm. Right? How about now? What are you feeling now as you're standing up and talking? Which part are you touch with?
Which part?
Yeah. Where did you get to?
I don't know. It's kind of in the chest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're feeling in the chest? Mm. What do you feel there?
Well, the deficiency I feel in the chest.
You feel the deficiency in the chest. Mm. And when you feel the deficiency, do you feel it as an emotional thing or as an emptiness?
As a collapse, kind of.
As a collapsing, yeah. Mm. As you breathe into that collapse, what does that feel like? Yeah, just let the breath go there.
It's fear.
Mm-hmm.
I feel my heart is pounding. It's fear. There's fear there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay, so some emotions come up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so part of the collapse is a collapse against some emotions. So that's what happens when you do the deficiency. Some feeling will come up. So if you fear, okay. Does that feel okay to feel it now? Do you feel okay in the fear?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
What happens to the collapse when you feel the fear?
It's kind of shaky.
Huh?
It's shaky. There's some shakiness within the collapse.
Yeah.
It's like with the earthquake, kind of the same.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. It's a little shaky, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. So you're staying with it. You're experiencing it, you know, where it's in your body, and you're feeling some of the feeling. So that's good.
Yeah, I feel immediately pulled back into the old experiencing, you know, of deficiency.
Yeah.
I mean, I become the child again. It's right there again.
Become the child, yeah. 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 I mean, the child might be the one who has the deficiency, you see. Mm-hmm. So you might need to let yourself experience the child to get into the deficiency. Mm-hmm.
I'm Brad. So during this monologue, what came up for me is something that seems to come up a fair amount in the last few months, is that I actually am aware of the real falseness of my personality.
Yeah.
Just becomes very clear. And then there's an experience of a really intense cold and shaking.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm falling into very dark, cold water.
Yeah.
Or into very cold space. And there doesn't seem to be any specific deficiency that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
It's more like this just total falling, shaking,
yeah,
freezing kind of experience. And
mm-hmm,
sometimes, like today, after about 10 minutes of that, there's an experience of some freedom, some sense of connecting with myself, but
yeah,
just lots of shaking and lots of shaking. And
yeah.
I don't know how that fits with...
well, the shaking, that means the personality itself is sort of loosening, like the pattern, the personality, the pattern of falseness. When you saw the falseness of the personality, you're seeing the structure of the personality, and that sort of loosens and begins to dissolve or melt. So you might feel it as a shaking, and there might be experience of falling, that is one way of getting into the emptiness. See, is that the structure itself becomes looser. So as you feel the falling, since let it happen, if you just let that happen, not fight it and not think of it as a bad or a good thing, what happens then?
It seems to just continue. You know, it just seems
mm-hmm,
there's more and more cold and shaking. I start shaking harder and harder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
So let yourself shake harder. See what happens.
And then I feel a little shaky again. And then today I felt like there was a moment of sort of landing, like in trees and earth. I can't really explain that.
Yeah. Right now, what's it like? You feel it landing or is it shaking now?
A little of both. I feel
mm-hmm,
I feel like I'm talking to you from inside in some relatively clear
yeah,
way. I'm not thinking
mm-hmm,
about what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's my experience right now.
Yeah.
I don't feel afraid like I usually do.
Uh-huh. Okay. So both is shaking and there's some kind of ground that you're feeling.
Seems like it.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. So you're getting to some kind of quality that feels like a ground.
Yeah, there's some quality. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
There is
mm-hmm,
some quality.
Yeah, some quality feels like a ground and make you feel more stable. You know.
Yeah.
But the shaking might be necessary for that to happen. The shaking is the loosening that brings in more space, more openness, possibility for something else to emerge.
So shaking isn't always about fear?
It's not always about fear. Sometimes fear. But sometimes the loosening up of the structure. But it can be there's fear in it. Could be other feeling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay. The question here.
Gretchen.
I was wondering if it was common to feel simultaneously the experience of the essential quality and the deficiency. I had an experience working weeks with my teacher on feeling this sort of inherent wrongness, and then working with the history of it and the inner critic and the covering up of it, and then sort of moving what felt like into a hole, and this sort of rising of wrongness right below the layer of my skin with a deep sense of love in my body. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, it just feels like I'm simultaneously feeling right below my skin wrongness and a deep sense of love.
Uh-huh. It can be both there. That's possible. We can... I mean, all the levels we discuss, they can all be there. In fact, they are all there all the time. We're just not conscious of them, right? So when we go through the level, it doesn't mean, you know, we're creating. All the levels, in some sense, are implicit there. And they can become several of them explicit at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible. So the fact of experiencing equality does not mean the deficiency is, will be gone at that moment. Right. Usually it is when you feel the quality. If the deficiency has to do with that quality, the quality tends to make the deficiency disappear. But sometimes the quality is related to a structure, some kind of self-image. It might not disappear right away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it's sort of an integration process, ultimately.
Yeah, it's more like there's something more about that deficiency. What's it connected to?
Right. Okay.
Might be connected to self-image, to a structure that you're still holding on to without knowing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And then the quality might help you explore that.
Right.
See? Sometimes things happen the other way around. Somebody can experience the quality first, and that can bring up their deficiency, which clarify it then more clearly by contrast what the deficiency is. They might have not seen it before.
Yeah, it feels very, you know, when we were doing the questions yesterday on deficiency, it felt like I wasn't really believing what I was saying. I mean, there's just this dual notion consistently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it feels like maybe there's something still in the structure that's, okay.
Yeah, so it can happen in all these ways. So before we go to lunch, we're going to have an hour and have a lunch. I have one announcement to make to you. A change and transformation in this group that has been going through transformation, but remember, the two teachers left the group, and two teachers were left, Regina and Byron, and we've been trying to find a third teacher to make a team, and now we have a third teacher, right? So we have their teacher will be joining the team soon. And the third teacher is Rosanna Noni. If you remember, she decided to stop because of her life, the way it was going with aging parents and all kinds of that stuff. So she didn't really have time and energy, but things have moved and changed in her life. And now she feels she have the time and energy to devote to being in this group. And so she discussed it with us, with the team, and we all decided it would be good for her to come back. So she will be again back, part of the team, teaching team. So you'll be team three, and of course, I'm also part of the team. I'll come here when I can. So we'll leave you with that, and we'll come back at 2:45.